I thought this would be a good opportunity to talk about mountaintop experiences. That seemed too cliche, too on the nose. Let's see, how many of you feel like you have had a mountaintop experience? What I mean by that is a, you know, a moment of utter spiritual clarity, a moment where you felt like you heard God's voice in a new and definitive way, a moment where all doubt was banished, even if for a moment. Show of hands. I had a kind of minor mountaintop experience 2 days ago. I've been here since Tuesday. I was very eager to get as quickly as I could into the mountains. The first thing I did was take a bike ride just from Jackson up here into the park up to Jenny Lake. And the whole time up, I was just transfixed by what I now understand is called the shelf, or the Death Canyon shelf. You know what I'm talking about? This just wild thing that I've never seen anything like it. I was just kind of transfixed, this like granite curtain has just been pulled across this pass. And so I asked my friend Travis, who I know some of you know from St. John's, I said, can I get up there? You know, where do I hike? And so the next day I went on a long hike, and Travis said, you know, start early, park here, parking lot fills up. And I'm not like an Eagle Scout or anything, but I'm like an experienced hiker. I generally know what I'm doing. But I was only the second car in the parking lot. I started hiking at about 6:30, and for whatever reason on this hike, I just kind of got freaked out a little bit. I don't know if you've had this experience, like the bear signs, just, you know, like be bear aware. And it said, one of the three tips, like keep your bear spray, don't hike alone. And I was like, a little too late for the second one, but I did have my bear spray. And I just kind of got in my own head about it. It's unusual for me, but I just was kind of freaked out a little bit. And just feeling like, boy, I am very alone. Very alone. And also, I'm hiking into this place called Death Canyon. And I can see the news on, you know, priest dies in Death Canyon. So I was just in my own head about it. And I didn't make it all the way up to the shelf. It's a little bit farther than I was anticipating, but I got a good way up into the canyon, and I found the spot where I was going to turn around, and found a nice shady spot. I brought a book with me to read, and 2 minutes into reading the book, those words were just looking back at me, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And I get it's like one of the most popular verses in the whole Bible, but it just was like, bam. And I just wasn't scared anymore. And just the rest of the hike all the way back down the mountain, I just felt kind of charged with God's presence. I think Abram has had a mountaintop experience in this reading from Genesis that we got. He's this famous passage, Abram has just been promised the big promise. God says to Abram, I choose you. I will bless you. I will give you a rich inheritance. Your children will be as the stars in the sky. I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. That's not the most interesting part of this passage to me. The most interesting part of this passage to me is what happens next, when Abram has to keep going on. Because something that this text doesn't tell you, that you get in the Romans reading, is the time that had to elapse between when God makes the promise and when that promise just even begins to be fulfilled. You know how long it is? 25 years. 25 years between when God says this to Abram, at which point, by the way, he's 75 years old already, and when Isaac is finally born, when Abram is 100 years old. The most interesting part of this passage to me is what Abram has to do once he comes back down the mountain. Once the mountaintop experience is over, what he has to do for the next 25 years. Here's my big question for the sermon is just, how do the promises of God continue to live with us when we're no longer on the mountaintop? how do the promises of, how do we carry those mountaintop experiences with us through the kind of more lean, mundane, ordinary, boring days and years of our lives? And the text says something really interesting. It says it twice in those last couple verses. After God kind of reiterates the promise, it says, and Abram built an altar there. And it says, and then he kept going. He kept moving towards the land that he was promised. And then, again, it says, when he was between the towns of Bethel and Ai, Abram again built an altar. He built an altar there. Now that's the most interesting part of this passage to me. And I think that is how, at least a clue as to how we carry mountaintop experiences with us into the ordinary days and years of our lives, is we make altars. What is an altar? An altar is it's a testament to this is the place where God spoke to me. This was the moment where it happened. It was right here. I want to build this here so that I can always come back and remember that it happened in the real world right here. An altar is a place to come to God and worship. In the Old Testament, primarily an altar is a place to offer sacrifice to God. We offer sacrifice to God as a way of saying we're sorry, but primarily throughout the Old Testament, we offer sacrifice to God as a way of saying thank you to God. An altar is a place where we say thank you. But most importantly, an altar is a place that we come to over and over again. An altar is something that is not a once-in-a-lifetime mountaintop experience. It is a habit. It is a routine. An altar is a way that we take a mountaintop experience and turn it into a habit, turn it into a ritual. How do we carry the mountaintop experiences of our lives with us into the ordinary days? How do God's promises stay with us? By making our own altars. By taking those things and making them into, by infusing our daily boring habits with reminders of those things. You know what these things are already. It's all the boring stuff that we all already know how to do, but we struggle to make time to do that. It's to find time to pray. It's to read your Bible. It's to spend time in silence. It is also, actually, maybe most emphatically, to come to church. Actually, this room, this building right here, is actually kind of both of these things at the same time. I mean, I don't get to worship in a place like this every Sunday. Like, this is, for me, a mountaintop experience right here, you know? Who knows how many mountaintop experiences this room has been witness to over the years? I mean, can't you almost feel it in the walls? How many people have sat in these pews and had that moment in their life of being like, I think God is saying this to me, and I think my life from this point on is going to be different. That's part of what rooms like this are for. But actually, primarily, what rooms like this are for ritual, are for habit, are for a place that we can come over and over again in the regular, long, boring days of our lives and be reminded of those things that God promised us in the past, and be reminded of those things that God has done for us in the past. And so we built an altar here. Hi, baby. That's what I offer you all to reflect on today. If there maybe you're here in the Tetons because you're looking for a mountaintop experience. That's what I was looking for in Death Canyon. But we can't manufacture that. We can't guarantee that it's going to happen. What we can do, what we do have control over, is coming to places like this to create ritual, to create habit, so that we can be sustained through the ordinary days of our lives. Maybe you've never had a mountaintop experience in your life. Maybe you don't know what these other people have experienced. That's okay. What you can do is come to places like this to be reminded of the promises of God. It took 25 years for that promise to be fulfilled for Abram. And actually, that's not the only time that that promise gets fulfilled. That promise gets fulfilled over and over again in the story of Israel. Over and over again, and ultimately fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ. That is the blessing that comes to Israel. That is to bless the world. And it is at this altar that Christ continues to come to us. Not in a mountaintop kind of way, but in an ordinary, mundane, bread and wine kind of way. Long ago, God decided that he couldn't just forever rely upon whispering in the wind as he did to Abram. That he had to communicate finally and unambiguously in a body, in a material, fleshly, incarnate God, Jesus Christ. And that's the God that comes down from the mountaintop and meets us here in ordinary places week by week. Amen.